the grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they moved through the computer. What did they look like? Ships, motorcycles. Were the circuits like freeways? I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Some time to explain the Destiny Lore podcast, where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. I'm Mike, my pronouns are he and him, and with me as usual is my co-host Kit.
Hi, I'm Kit, my pronouns are he, him, or they, them.
Hi, Kit.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't blame you.
It's been a week.
Yeah, it has been a week.
Feels like it's been a year.
Yeah, God, it's really only been a week since we last recorded.
If you can believe it.
Oh my god. It truly does feel like I have lived a lifetime in those 7 days. I don't know why, it just does. My big update is that all the lilacs are blooming in my neighborhood, so I made a bouquet this morning.
Oh, very nice.
It was really nice. Super
we
pleasant.
We have a lilac in our yard, but it's done now.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed it while it was there.
I did. We have a lot of, weirdly, I'd never thought of this before, but we have a lot of cherry blossom trees in our neighborhood.
Did you do your best, like, anime spring walk underneath them?
No, I did think of that when I was taking out the trash the other day, and I was, like, walking down the driveway, and our neighbor has one, and there was one in their yard, and I was like, I'll just pretend like I'm in Japan.
It's like you can, like, the cicadas go in, you just sort of imagine, you know, you're in anime summer somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, I'm looking at my other screen where I have my favorite screenshot of part of the Garden of Salvation with its little flowers, and I was just thinking about how those flowers reminded me of the flowers I saw today. That's where that whole thing came from.
Oh, nice.
Bringing it all together.
Yeah, I have a Garden of Salvation screenshot as my desktop background. So.
Yeah, it's a good place to get one.
I want to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the podcast. Which is, I wanted to talk briefly about timing of our episodes, because we just started a new, speaking of seasons, we just started a new season in Destiny 2, which is the season of the Splicer. What a masterful segue, I must say.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
10 out of 10. Please rate and subscribe based on the skillfulness of that segue, and that only.
I expect to see that in your Apple rating comments.
Yeah, that's the weekly homework.
So we're gonna be doing weekly updates along with the season, but the way that our schedule is set up, these episodes come out on Thursdays, obviously, and in the game the resets are on Tuesdays. So we might be talking about and asking questions. And those might get answered when the reset happens on Tuesday, right. But then our episode doesn't come out until Thursday. So
right.
By the time you're listening to the episode, you'll be yelling at your screen because you already know the answer to all the things we're talking about.
Yep.
But we'll just... we appreciate your patience. We'll get to it in the next episode.
Yep. This is just the way it kind of has to be based on the recording schedule. So if you know, it's okay. I mean, enjoy yelling at the podcast if you know the answers, I guess. But
yeah. Don't send us the answers.
Kindly avoid that, please.
Yeah.
One more housekeeping note, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Good. All right. So we had talked about a lot of words in our previous episode. One of those words was egregore, which the person who had mentioned the who had first flagged that term as something worth looking into actually reached out and gave me a little more information about that. So I'm not going to go too deep into it, mostly for time's sake. But he identified that term egregore as, and I'm not sure whether I explicitly said this, but as related to something called chaos magic. The reason that I thought, you know, this was interesting is because the term servitor also appears in chaos magic and people who write about that. And obviously, you know, servitor is the purple orbs that go along with the elixir, which are going to be very relevant in this season. So as far as words go and where the words are being pulled from, there's definitely someone who seems to have an interest in this stuff, I guess, in the writing team at Bungie. But the point that he was making was that, what I understood him to be making was that the only place that this term pops up, the term egregore pops up, other than in chaos magic circles, is in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories in general within the last decade or so of at least, you know, this person's awareness. So not necessarily clarifying that it's not necessarily intrinsically linked again to those right-wing circles, that conspiracy kind of online world of right-wing conspiracy theories, but that recently, anytime you see that word outside of this original context, that's what it's where it tends to be in these really gross conspiracy theorist websites and forums and that kind of thing. So just an interesting note on that. Thank you for reaching out with that additional information. It was tough to find, so that was super helpful. Just interesting. Just briefly interesting. But again, as you know, as usual, if you have any further thoughts about anything that we talk about or any other... with the sidebar of don't send us the answers, you can always feel free to email in or reach out in another way that works for you to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that was good to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing is we're about to dive into spoiler territory for Season of the Splicer.
Woo!
We just had the first week of it. So if you haven't had time to play yet, no worries, no rush. It'll be here for you. Come back, go do that first when you have time, and then come back and listen to this after that. From here on out, we're going to be talking about everything that happened this past week with the new seasonal story.
Mm-hmm. It's only a couple of hours worth of stuff, really.
They managed to cram in a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm a little overwhelmed with the amount that's there, in a good way, but to the point where I'm like, well, there's no way that we could cover all of it today and not be here for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So,
which we're not going to do this time.
Yeah, right.
Maybe at the end of the season. But yeah, it feels like there's a lot of front loading of story content and exposition in this week's release.
I figure we would just focus in on the stuff that interested us the most and jumped out to us and excited us, and we'll see what falls out of that.
So we'll hit the highlights.
Yeah, exactly. If there's something that interests you that we don't talk about, you could send us that. That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the guidelines for what people can and can't send us are
yeah, it's like
getting longer. Better to set expectations,
mm-hmm,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clear communication is always positive. I think my first highlight is the return of our friend Mithrax, the Kel of the House of Light, and this just the coolest outfit that he's got. Did he always have these cool, like, purple wires on him?
No.
I love it.
I'm mixed about it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a little, what's mixed about it to you?
I mean, they gave him his own unique look, which is good, but it feels a little bit out of nowhere to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the part that is throwing me a little bit, is this whole sacred splicer concept feels a little bit out of the blue.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It feels like it came out of nowhere. I was trying to suss out whether that's because previously the game hasn't really been interested in the culture of the Elixni in this level of detail, or whether that was a new thing for Mithrax himself. But it does feel kind of very, very out of the blue. The whole idea of Elixni Spicers. And I guess we just didn't know very much about the roles that people held in Elixni society. The only thing that we really knew before this was about, you know, the structure of ether rationing. We didn't really know about, like, the social and cultural roles of the Elixni. So part of me thinks that you know, this came out of nowhere reflects, like, the Guardians not knowing very much about the Elixni in the first place. And part of me is like, someone just came up with this, like, out of randomly, like, oh, now the Elixni are splices of the Vex network. Like, it sort of makes sense, but not quite, in terms of, like, the Elixni being this people who are interested in machines. Like, it sort of makes sense that they would have a relationship with the Vex, but not really to me. I'm still internalizing that. All this is all very new, I think, too, to me. A lot to wrap your head around.
Yeah, and it's like, it's their, you know, it's their thing. It's Bungie's thing. They can add to it however they want. Mm-hmm. Elixni don't actually exist, so, like, they can be whatever.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that, like, I have a problem with that necessarily. It's just like, we had the Devil Splicers back in Rise of Iron,
mm-hmm,
and there was talk about, like, splicing there, but it was all very more of a body horror kind of context with Siva.
Mm-hmm.
With that being the only previous touchstone, like, nothing in the same vein has ever happened before, which again, is totally fine. That's just why I'm having the reaction I am.
Mm-hmm. It's
the other thing. Oh, sorry.
It's like a new color added to the Elixni palette.
Yeah. yeah, neon purple.
Yeah, and I love it, but yeah, it's a little weird.
The thing I don't love about Mithrax's redesign is his helmet is now, like, just a big gray hunk.
Mm-hmm.
that's Mithrax, baby.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
but the eye, the glow, I guess that's to emphasize the glowing eye, but mm-hmm, I feel like we lost. I like the captain helmet, the detail on it, and you could, like, see his eyes and stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just, I feel like we lost some of him.
Yeah.
In this redesign, which I'm not thrilled about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm just not thrilled with the design of the helmet, and just is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't. It doesn't. It. I don't really care that much, but like if we are really getting down to the brass tacks of the what are my design opinions?
Uh-huh.
I don't love the helmet.
I mean, what are we doing here if not getting down to brass tacks about our ridiculous Destiny opinions?
Brass attacks.
The brass attacks, exactly. Touching briefly on the subject of Elixni eyes in this intro mission where you see Elixni from afar. They have these, you see their little eyes, they look like little Spider-Man eyes, and they're just all watching you. Same thing with the... just like the way that these people are sort of skulking at the edges of in the Botsa ruins when you come into this area where Zavala and Ikora have allowed this group of House of Light Elixni to take up residence in the busted out ruins. Like, you couldn't have given them some nicer stuff? Like, okay.
Okay, I guess we're kind of burying the lead here, which is Elixni in the city.
They're here. I'm
Elixni
so happy.
In the tower.
I'm so thrilled. They're here.
I know I was just complaining about Mithrax's design, but so pumped. All I was doing was popping off. Like, this is all I've ever fucking wanted since D1.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like, every time I'm in the annex, I basically just find myself standing and hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
watching them work,
not believing it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I've been bothering my fire teams about this for 6 years now.
Yeah.
And
here it is. It's amazing.
I'm thrilled. I'm totally thrilled. Their area in the helm is so cool.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I took a lot of pictures of, and this is weird, a lot of screenshots of, like, Elixni, like, being vulnerable around the tower. So, like, I have this picture of an Elixni just, like, laying down. And I don't know why this was so revelatory to me, but just normally, I guess, when we fight Elixni, they have a lot of motion to them. They're always zipping around and moving and waving their arms and... seeing Elixni at rest was really kind of moving to me, surprisingly so.
Mm.
Seeing this kind of this makeshift home that they've created and the evidence through all these objects of them having so much experience creating makeshift homes because they've obviously lost their home world. And getting to walk around this this area and getting to see this very intimate, like, domestic portrayal of the Elixni that we've really never seen before. I felt so, like, lucky, which is weird, but I felt really lucky to be able to experience that, to see that. My favorite bit in what's known as the Elixni Quarter in the tower is the Shank. But I should mention who it is who's talking to you when you walk around the Elixni Quarter. It is an Elixni named Ido, who is Mithrax's daughter, named after Seer Ido, who is famously a friend of the Elixni. Which, like, I can't believe that he named his daughter after her. Like, it's just...
It said, the one that says she took the name.
Really?
I guess she must have... had a lot of respect for her through hearing the way that Mithrax talked about her.
Yeah, she was a foundling.
Ido. Yeah.
She was found in a wrecked ship. Which, thanks, game, for making it really clear to us that Mithrax doesn't fuck. Thanks, okay. You could have just let us imagine that if we wanted to. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, they don't say that he doesn't fuck.
I guess, but it's not... His daughter is not, you know, his... I don't know. She's a found child.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's a great new character. She fulfills like the scribe role in the House of Light, which again is another example of the House of Light following cultural roles and practices of the Elixni that are from Rhys, I believe. Ido says about it that in many ways, the House of Light is very traditional, and that splicers and scribes and those roles in society are ancestral. but that Mithrax acts very differently from Pascal's. We talked about this a little bit before, in that he doesn't engage in the kind of ether rationing of only allowing certain quantities of ether that that the elixir need to live to certain people. Like there's not such a palpable caste system here as there is with the elixir that normally appear in the game as enemies for us to fight. I got really emotional about the Shank that Ido talks about. I'm just going back to this in this camp because she uses a she pronoun to refer to it, and it just like got to me. Like I've talked about this before in a previous episode, I believe, but that she talks about this Shank is not just a machine, but representing something of their collective existence, of, you know, this tribe and this group of Elixni that have all added to or repaired this object at different times. And it's clear that this Shank is such a precious part of this world. And then you just think about every Shank that you've blown up in this stupid game of Destiny, and you're like, oh my god, were these all important in this way?
Yes,
the answer is yes, and it kind of kicks you in the stomach in a really powerful way.
It's interesting to hear you having this reaction, because this is the kind of shit that we've been saying for years now.
Yeah, but it hasn't been so upfront in the game. I mean, it hasn't been like walk up to this scannable thing and you know, hear about this culture.
Right.
It's been, you could look away from it if you wanted to, and now Destiny is making this choice of not letting you look away from it, putting it right in front of you, you know, kind of confronting you with the horror of the Guardians to other people that they share the universe with.
Yeah, and something I was thinking about on this topic was, does this land for a new light player? Does this count on a more long-term investment with the Elixni people? Because if I'm a new light player, a good portion of the introductory mission is me shooting Elixni. Ghost calling them pirates and scavengers and you know, blowing their heads off.
Right. So does it
and
feel?
And then I load into the tower, and they're like there.
Right. Well, these ones are different.
Somehow, yes, these ones are the good.
These
ones.
Are the good ones. Uh huh. These are the ones from the light. These are the good ones. yeah, it's definitely. I don't know if it lands for new light players. It's hard to say. I'm a much newer light than you, and it landed for me, but I think you're right that it could be really dissonant.
I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer. Well, I'm just interested in you know, if that describes you out there, I'd be very curious to hear your reaction.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not discounting what you're saying, but it's like, you've also done a lot of time researching and reading.
It's true. Yeah, it's interesting. Let us know what you think of it if you're newer.
Speaking of the good ones, the House of Light gets crammed into the Batza Ruins, which is the arena where the Metal Gear boss fight for fucking, what was that raid called?
Scourge of the Past. Yeah. But I can't remember the name of the boss.
Hi, it's Mike from the future editing this. Insurrection Prime is the name of that boss. Insurrection Prime. Okay, enjoy the rest of the podcast. Don't forget to save your game. Anyway, my point in bringing all that up was that That's that arena where that boss fight happened is where the House of Light got crammed into, and it just gave me a lot of icky feelings of segregation and apartheid, and the Elixni didn't get welcomed into the city with open arms. In fact, I don't think most of the people in the city know that they're there.
No, yeah, there's definitely secrecy to it.
And it just feels really dirty to me. Like, I'm so happy that they're there, but it's kind of soured a little bit because of the attitude with which it's treated. And I'm pretty sure that's on purpose. Like, that tension is what's driving a lot of the conflicts in this season, and I understand that you need that to tell a story. I think you could still have those conflicts. Some of my criticism, I think, is based around, like, I don't think you needed to segregate them to have those conflicts.
Right.
And it feels like that's the kind of thing where it feels like, I don't know how much of that is on purpose or not, whether, like, the writers think that it's, like, the way that Ikora and Zavala describe it. Like, I feel like we're supposed to sympathize with Ikora and Zavala in this case.
I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right that we're supposed to sympathize with them, but...
Yeah, and their whole perspective is like, well, this is for the best.
It's very neoliberal, like, to me.
Exactly.
It's like the neoliberal vanguard.
Yes.
Like, oh, you can be here, but, you know, but only in this particular area, which is not as which is also literal ruins.
We'll give you anything you ask for. Anything you need, you tell me. And it's like, can we not live in the ruins?
Yeah.
That would be number one.
Yeah.
What Mithrax says is like, well, we're going to need facilities for ether production. And then I'm like... You know, he frames it, you know, and they're like, oh, yes, of course. And I'm like, you can move your character freely. And all I had to do was turn around and look at the blasted out crater they're living in. I'm like, doesn't look like there's any facilities for ether production here. I don't know about y'all.
Like, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
I guess that's how they get the room in the helm.
Right. But still, it was like, There is an item, the one weapon, the grenade launcher that got added, which is called Ignition Code. The spider's two kind of main associates are one of them is Arha, and on that grenade launcher, Arha infiltrates the settlement, and he's seeing the city for the first time, firsthand. As they're flying into it, and he like gets hit with
awe.
Yeah, he's awestruck. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. And then he gets to the settlement and is like hit with reality again, where he's like, oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. That was all a bullshit.
Right.
So then it's like, okay, well, here in this lore tab, they're recognizing it. Mm-hmm. But I'll be curious to see if that enters the story that the player's presented with. Because I had to go... the only way I found that was by reading through all the lore tabs. Mm-hmm. I would really like that sentiment to have been in the story.
Yeah. And in general, the lore tabs for the Season of the Splicer weapons that have the kind of the Elixni aesthetic, not the future war cult weapons, generally seem to have stories about the reception of the Elixni within the tower and like kind of different perspectives, which is neat and is really cool. But the perspectives that we see in the game are... like you were saying, Zavala and Ikora, and Mithrax being, you know, accepting this offer graciously. And the other, when you first come into the settlement, you see, you know, Mithrax with Osiris and returning character, Lakshmi 2 of the Future War Cult. And she is...
Somewhere a fucking monkey's paw curled when I asked for Lakshmi to be back in the game again.
Oh, God. I know. It's so... She's... what does she say? She says... Mithrax is saying thank you to her and to Osiris. And she's like, your house can best show gratitude by keeping to itself. It's like, oh, okay. So just stay out of sight. Don't make any trouble. Don't let anyone know you're here. You know? We'll let you stay here as long as you behave, act right. Yeah, I don't know too much about the history of this this character, but I'm glad to see the return of factions to the tower. speaking of the monkey's paw curling,
shaking my head.
Yeah.
This is not what I meant. I said I wanted them back.
No, you didn't want to see this.
I'm really hoping that the story of the season is watching Lakshmi's mind be changed on this topic, and not seeing Lakshmi devolve into a bloodthirsty warmonger, racist.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going on right now, and I'm not here for it.
And it's explained by her, doesn't she have a vision of the Elixni, like a vision of a future in which the Elixni do cause a big problem in the tower, like cause destruction of the tower?
Yes and no.
Okay. I have no attachment to Lakshmi 2 as a character in particular, so I'm kind of like, ooh, who's this asshole? Let's get her. Let's change her mind. Or let's push her off the tower.
Oh God.
I'm not saying we're going to. I'm just saying, you know, if she can't get her shit together, she can't get her heart right. Same with Saint. Get your hearts right or die.
Oh. I totally lost the thread there. Okay, so what you said at the start was Lakshmi having this vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had speculated for years about what Future War Cult has these devices. Where did they get the devices? What are they? Where are they from? How are they using them? And that's been, like, speculation for years and years at this point. And very casually, as Lakshmi's delivering dialogue to you, she just blatantly blurts out that they're Vex devices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, oh yeah, they're a Vex design. It's like, okay, I'm glad that was answered, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so... The reason I was waffling on my answer to you is because she doesn't say specifically that she saw the Elixni being the cause for what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
All she says is, in her vision, she sees the city in flames, and Mithrax and the House of Light are standing in the center of it.
Right.
That's pretty fucking vague, Lakshmi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need some more details, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she says, I foresaw the Red War. They didn't want to listen to me. And we all saw how that panned out. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that happen again.
Mm-hmm.
One of our friends pointed out, upon this revelation of the design of these divination devices...
Mm-hmm.
A Vex simulation has taken over the city. And your devices are a Vex design.
Yeah.
Are we making any connections here, Lakshmi?
Yeah, like all of a sudden, you may have gotten bitten off more than you can chew.
So, I'm really hoping this is a story about changing someone's mind and not bringing Lakshmi back only to... have her become a villainous character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would suck.
Yeah, that would be... I would not like to see that. Is it even really Lakshmi? Is it somehow a Vex construct? These are the questions that I've been thinking of lately. you know, does this Vex simulation affect things other than putting us all under shadow? What else could the effects of it be? Thinking a little bit about the kind of Vex code corruption that we learned about in Beyond Light. Has got me kind of thinking about what the Vex might be capable of.
You're talking about the way that the Vex is like an airborne virus that can infect your mind and force you to hallucinate.
Right. Yeah, so like, is that somehow, is there some kind of a collective hallucination or something like that going on here? I just don't know yet. So that's my called shot for the season is it's Lakshmi is a hallucination or is not real. It's not really Lakshmi. That's my new big theory. Yeah. I was hoping to see a little bit more background about how the Vex simulation started doing this. Oh, also I wanted to mention interesting lore I read today, and I can't remember where this was exactly, but it was a conversation between Zavala and Keitel, where Keitel is warning Zavala about Lakshmi, and Zavala is sort of dismissing her as a politician, and oh, she's always done this, and this is the way she, you know, the way that she is in the tower, and Keitel sort of saying, warning him sort of gently to be careful who he trusts, and it's, I think the Zavala and Keitel relationship is really interesting. These two kind of people who are caught up in the momentum of the thing that they lead, talking about that, I think is really interesting, and they have forged a friendship. I mean, at least according to this lore piece, you know, describes Keitel as talking to Zavala as a friend and saying, you know, be careful, words are very powerful weapons. And you can see the kind of effects of Lakshmi's rhetoric against the Fallen in some of these lore pieces from the Season of the Splicer Weapons, where in one of them, there's like an angry mob ganging up on an Elixni person in the tower. And the lore piece describes them as, you know, using Lakshmi's words. So I don't know exactly what to make of all of it, but definitely some unrest and some intrigue. I think it's really interesting that Lakshmi and the Future War Cult are positioned as like really believing in the truth of the Vex simulations, and the Splicer, Mithrax is not. I think that's really interesting as kind of a notion of what is real, what is a lie, how can we be misled by these simulations of the future are all really interesting, and I'm excited to see more. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, part of my frustration is coming from having spent hundreds and hundreds of hours repping Future War Cult through Destiny 1 and Destiny 2. So it'd be cool if, you know, the faction that I give a shit about wasn't a bunch of racists. Because that's definitely not how they've been characterized in the past.
No.
So, you know, it'd be cool if that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like them a lot. They're interesting. We should do an episode on
We couldn't
on,
have had fucking
factions.
Executor Hideo be the asshole here.
I don't know.
You know, the guy that wants to fucking install a monarchy? We couldn't have had that fucker be the asshole.
Yeah.
We had to have fucking Lakshmi.
Well, no, we're doing a Vex season because of the Vault of Glass, so it had to be It had to be that. It had to be the Vex. It had to be the future war cult was mind forking with the Vex whole thing.
All right.
It had to be. I know. I agree. It also is another one for me. It's like, okay, another... Like, here's a cool badass lady character, and she's a villain again, maybe?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So hopefully not. Hopefully it gets away from that a little bit. We didn't talk about the baby Fallen. Aside from the fact that it's, like, a little bit cheap to be like, oh, look, a baby one of these things. Like, it's a little bit of, like...
Bungie was paying very close attention when that fan art got made, back when The Mandalorian came out and Baby Yoda became a cultural phenomenon. And then the fan art of the hypothetical Baby Elixni was going around.
Yeah, they really...
And they were like, yep, we'll take that, thank you very much.
Yep. We will take that and really run with it, because, like, the number of, you know, Elixni with little, like, three little babies in their sash in the tower. I mean, it's really cute and sweet, but it's, like, a little, like...
They had that fucking plush toy ready to
go. Oh, yeah. And I'm ready to buy it. I'm like, take my $50 or whatever. Like, take more money than this stupid thing is worth.
They're very cute. They are very
They're
cute.
They're real cute. I love their...
They coo.
Oh, now I'm looking at the baby. But, so yeah, those are nice. So, you know, I'm not immune to the charms of Grogu or of a baby Elixni that looks kind of like Grogu. I'm not immune to it. That's cool. Other new...
Speaking of the Vex plan.
What the fuck is it?
So, this might have been obvious to people, maybe I don't need to talk about it, but my personal experience was a little bit of information overload coming into this season, and a lot of the setup is being done via text boxes when you're talking to vendors.
Yeah.
And... it was easily lost on me because there's also like a lot of new systems being introduced this season with the cosmetic transmog system and the new 6-person activity and the new areas, and there's just like a lot of blinking stuff that you have to go look at and interact with. and it was a little overwhelming to me, and so I missed it when I was going through it, and it wasn't until after I finally got through all that stuff and like a couple days went by and I was like, hang on, what are the Vex doing exactly? And our friend was like, oh, it was in one of those text boxes, you should go back and look at that. And I was like, ah, let me go back to the copious screenshots I took.
Haha, they come in handy. I took them too this time.
Awesome.
It's great. So it's great to have them.
I keep being proven right. So I went back and looked at that, and for those of you who may have missed it, like me, the answer is still question marks. But here's what is said. So Mithrax is talking to you, and he says, the Vex are seeking to use their simulation to drain the light from this place and bend it to their will, just as you seek to disrupt their network. There's no... okay, so that's what he says in the dialogue, in the voice line. That's what he says to you. In the text box, it's a little different, and it says, the Vex are draining energy from the city, but beyond that, their motives are unclear. And I just thought it was interesting that the dialogue and the text were a little different, but that difference of energy and capital L light feels significant to me. And then he goes on to say, there's no way to easily separate the city from the Vex domain. For one to survive, the other must be destroyed.
Really unclear as to why, for me.
Yeah, and him saying their motives are unclear, I think it's going to be explained over the rest of the season, and it's just a consequence of us only being a week in. But I don't know that that is... I don't know that that part of the mystery is that interesting to me, that we couldn't just know that up front.
Yeah.
Because it does feel a little bit like, what is our objective? We don't know what they're doing, so like, how do we know what we're supposed to be doing in response to it?
Right. Yeah, and I bet you it will become clear as things continue through the season, but it did feel very much like, wait, what am I doing? Why is this happening? What's going on? Like,
yeah,
you know, starting it. I'm trying to remember whether Season of the Chosen felt that way too, and I kind of don't think it did, but
my memory of Season of the Chosen is Kaido was like, we're going to have this contest, and that's what the battlegrounds became, and I felt like that was pretty clear, even though we obviously disagreed with it.
Yeah.
I felt like I had a handle on that.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. It was kind of a narrower scope. Like, they were really only playing with the Cabal. Bungie was really only playing with the Cabal in that season. This season, they're playing with the Vex and the Elixni at the same time. You know, it's just, there's just more threads. There's more stuff.
I also felt like there wasn't any build-up to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing when a bunch of ships fly into the skybox. It's a different thing when it's like, we woke up this morning and the city was in the Vex simulation.
Yeah. And yet somehow... we woke up this morning and everything was different, actually. And there's a strange pall hanging over this whole world. Actually sounds a little familiar.
Hmm.
But I agree with you.
Well, that's charitable of you.
There's a definite lack of buildup. I think that's a really good point, that it doesn't feel contiguous, really, or continuous with anything that happened. That's happened recently. It just, and I bet that this will all get smoothed out as the season goes on and we adjust and settle into what the season is going to be and the themes that it's going to play with.
I liked that part of the... I like that we see the effects on the tower with the power surges. I think that's a fun little touch.
What is the power surge? I haven't seen this.
Oh, when you're running around the tower, every so often the power will go out and all the lights will go off, and you hear, like, you hear the fuse, like, go off, like, break,
uh-huh.
And all the... And then like... the backup generators kick in or whatever, and it comes back.
Oh,
on.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
it's a good touch.
And I like something that we brought up in our episode with our friend Jez, is I was in that episode I was talking about the speaker's line of "the light is in all things," and that got referenced here. Let me look up the line real quick.
While you look up the line, can I mention one other thing?
Sure.
I really like the Spicer Gauntlet lore with the Cryptarchy being utter assholes about the Elixni, and then being hacked by Ido, who's like, disappointing that you would be so condescending when you're friends with the Great Machine. Interesting. Just kind of, like, takes the high road. I love it. Fuck the Cryptarchy. Fuck Rahul. This was just a big, like, fuck Rahul moment for me. anyway, did you find the line you were looking for? Sorry, I got sidetracked.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mithrax is talking to you about what a Sacred Splicer is and how Sacred Splicers use their abilities. And he says, the light is like the wind in the grass and the movement of galaxies.
Oh, wow. That's a good line.
Yeah.
That is very much.
He's talking about the way that they're able to manipulate the Vex network is because there is light in the Vex network, because there's light in everything. And I'm like, oh,
cool.
There it is.
There it is.
He said the thing.
Fascinating.
I'm really pumped that they brought that back.
That is fascinating.
Made that reference.
I'm gonna have to look more into that. I have a brewing take about Destiny and like religion, and the speaker is really relevant to it. So I'll have to. I want to think more about that. Stay tuned, I guess.
Okay. Looking forward
to it. It's brewing. I'm not there yet, but by the end of the season, hopefully we'll have some grand theory. Other little. I'm trying to think if there's any other like little things I want to call out.
Any initial thoughts about the Vex network?
Oh, I love that Tron-ass vaporwave shit. It's good.
It totally is Tron.
I love it. I have a really good seasonal look to go with it, so that's great. Yeah, it's definitely not, doesn't look like any other area in Destiny, which I guess is good to, you know, to represent this the Vex network in a really different way from anything else.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't look like it really has its own thing going on.
Totally.
You know, I love the square, the square orb.
What's that?
The square orb. You pick up a cube instead of an orb in this Destiny activity. So instead of
really, really innovating on the Destiny activities this season.
Yep. Instead of an orb, it's a cube that you carry around. So I like
groundbreaking.
Yeah, groundbreaking. I like it. I like that there's an obstacle course in the middle of it, but I hate doing it. Like, I think it's good for the game of Destiny that there's like a Vex network. I always refer to it as ice, like the, is that from Cyberpunk, or is it from Shadowrun? I forget, but the idea, like, referring to hacking, like, anti-hacking security systems as ice that you have to get by. It's like,
I've never heard
that. Like a Cyberpunk fictional trope. I don't know where it originated, but I think it's, I've heard it, you know, several times. But yeah, I like calling it ice. It's fun to hack the Vex, hack the planet. You know?
Cue that gif of, fuck, who is that from that movie, Hackers? Where he's like, he has the fucking floppy disks. Anyway.
I don't know the guy's name, but yes. I know what you're talking about. That's us. How do I make my look just the most bullshit?
That what you're talking about does, like, I feel like a broken record, but I keep coming back to this. But like the obstacle course, I don't know about that decision.
Yeah.
And then gamifying, making it easier to run the obstacle course.
Like with the upgrades to the Splicer Gauntlet.
Right. Right. That feels like a really weird decision to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are not the accessibility options I'm looking for.
No, yeah, definitely.
Make me play the game more to physically progress through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not impressed by
that. No. It kind of sucks. The design of it is like, okay, only one person needs to make it through to the end, which is good, but it kind of sucks to never, like, make it through to the end. Just be like, to feel like you can't do that.
Did you ever play, what's that fucking game? Fall Guys.
Oh, Fall Guys.
It's like a fucking Fall Guys course.
I guess it is, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't think of that, but you're totally right. Wow. Holy shit. Yeah.
Somebody cut together footage of the override activity with the fucking Fall Guys music over it.
Yeah, please. Damn, good pull. Yeah, it's good. I like the activity. It's fun. It's fun that you can do it with a bunch of people. I don't know. I don't have too much else to say about this season right now. But yeah, I'm definitely, I feel like where I'm at right now is like, wow, this is a lot of stuff up front. I don't really know how this connects to anything, and I don't know how I feel about any of it yet, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. If we didn't get that across, I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. And I think overall, we are continuing in the Season of the Chosen vein of having a super interesting and engaging seasonal story.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is such a huge development in the Destiny universe, and it's happening in a seasonal model. Like, not a big expansion.
Yeah, that it's going to be week after week. Again, with the seasonal model, I'm still really liking it. Oh yeah, one last thing, and then one last thing, and then we can wrap up if you want. Where's Zeevu Wrath right now? So far, Zeevu Wrath has been connecting the past two seasons, and I'm interested to see whether that's going to be true in this story, or whether this new season is going to be pivoting away from that plot line at all.
If we want to talk about called shots.
Oh yeah.
The vision to me, Lakshmi's vision to me, and some of what Mithrax says when he has his vision, and some of the story of Keitel is kind of all coming together to me. I kind of see this being Tor Bottle Part 2 for us.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be extremely bad.
I also, yeah. I think the game is hinting at there's writing in the game right now that's hinting at that being a possibility. So could happen.
Like we're going to be like, "Yay, we stopped the Vex simulation," and then a Hive portal's going to open up and Zeevu'rath's giant foot is going to come out of it.
Zeevu'rath's giant foot. She does a big steppy.
I kind of think that's what's going to happen.
I think it's possible. Curious.
It's like, yeah, it's the part of Lakshmi's vision where the city is attacked is true, but it just so happened, you know, the part where Mithrax is there is just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He's probably at the center of it trying to get people out. It's probably one of those.
Right. Right.
I
mean, I don't know about you, but I definitely see Mithrax as being set up to be like a Christ-like figure.
Mm.
A prophet. Mm-hmm. Especially the seasonal artwork.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I don't see this going so well for our boy Mithrax.
Probably not. But Ripperoni to Mithrax.
That's my that's another call.
I would cry if Mithrax died.
I'd be upset.
I might cry for real, for real.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying the imagery is there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's get out of here then.
Let's wrap up. Let me go to bed.
Okay.
Where
can people find you, Kit?
Oh, why, thank you for asking. You can find me on twitter.com at kit_boyote. Posting about nothing, but always reblogging or retweeting Trans Howl from Howl's Moving Castle. We'll never not reblog Trans Howl. That's pretty much my content. That's what I can offer you. Where can you be found on the internet, Michael?
You can find me at MacClubbin on Twitter, posting Free Palestine.
Ah, yeah. Solidarity with Palestine, that's all I have to say about that.
Yes.
And resisting colonialist occupation.
Yep. In case you forgot you were listening to an anti-imperialist podcast.
yeah.
Just a little reminder. And you can find me at my website, michaelmccubbin.com. If you want to send an email, you can send that to sometimetoexplain@gmail.com.
That's the email. don't send us spoilers, please, for the season.
Yeah, don't send us any data mine spoilers. I'm sure they're out there at this point. You know, worth saying that when these new seasons come out, all these item descriptions have lore on them, and they all get dumped at the same time. And if you go to a site like Ishtar Collective to read them, they're all there for you. And they might not be meant for you to read until 12 weeks from now. So please keep that in mind as you're out there reading, and don't send us any of that shit.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff. I'm excited to dig into more of it. I'm trying to avoid reading lore on things that I haven't gotten in the game yet. So I haven't read all the lore and all the weapons, so I'm excited to get into more of that. And if you have topic suggestions, now that we are, you know, we'll still be checking in with the weekly story, but there's a lot more in the world of Destiny to talk about. So if you have things you'd like to know about, questions about it, feel free to let us know those as well in that email address, sometimetoexplain@gmail.com.
Looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah.
With that being said, we're getting out of here.
Yeah. Ski daddling. Enjoy the rest of
your... We're going to go to sleep in the endless night.
Just lay our heads down in the Vex simulation. For
Kit's going to be dunked in the Vex milk like he wanted.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Just lay me down. It sounds relaxing, honestly. Maybe we're all living in a Vex simulation, man.
Whoa.
Could be.
He's beginning to believe.
Good night.
We'll see you here next time on Sometime to Explain.
I'm leaving.
Get out.
I'm gone. Oh, man.
What cipher is this?
Fucking shut the fuck up.